Yeah, it has a spoken word, like, basically story behind. I mean, very theatrical, I think, generally.
It's like Emerentia or whatever is the name of the thing. Yeah, my friend one day, she's like, oh, you gotta listen, like, watch this. I thought it was, like, gonna be, like, a short movie. So I was all pumped up, and it's just, like, him telling the story that he made up. I was quite disappointed at the time, but now I've come to appreciate it.
Yeah. Good vocals on it, obviously. King Diamond is a very growly old man at this point, right? 2002, even.
Yep.
A little bit further back in time, October 20th, 1986. If you're a fan of the Tutcher and Rich morning show, you've heard Fred Tutcher mention A Heavy Metal Parking Lot, which came out October 20th, 1986. 30 years ago today, or excuse me, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Basically what it is like a freeform documentary produced by Jeff Krulik and John Hain in the Capitol Center in Maryland. It was a...
Oh, it was not filmed out in the parking lot here?
It was not in the parking lot here. It was Landover, Maryland, May 31st, 1986 was the actual day of the concert. It was Judas Priest and Dokken, and basically what it is just... freeform interviews with shirtless heshers from the 80s who are... I was going to pull a clip from the film, but it's impossible because it's just a young man with a mullet just swearing every other second, so I couldn't edit it as quickly. Everyone's bare, you know, there's a John Waters, director, saw it, and he said that it was one of the scariest things he's ever seen, and that it, quote, gave him the creeps. It's Heavy Metal Parking Lot. The entire film is on YouTube,
right?
So it's like an hour long. I mean, it's honestly worth a watch. It's hilarious. It's pretty accurate. It's funny because the interviewer, you know, it's for Priest and Dokken opening with, I think that's, Into the Fire. That's the big song that Dokken had at the time. But a lot of the guys were just screaming about how they wanted to see Metallica, even though they weren't at a Metallica show. Okay, and of course, most important, October 21st, 1983, the single from Dio.
Uh-oh.
The single that I think made him a household name in my house. Rainbow in the Dark. It's such an unbelievable song. Dio can basically hit every note in the operatic register. He's, I believe, passed away 2 years ago now?
Recently. I don't remember.
Dio was 3.5 feet tall. He's credited as inventing essentially the metal horns. As a young Italian man, he has a Sicilian mother, and she would always do the horns at you, which in many countries means you're being cuckolded. it was also a Sicilian curse. My grandmother used to do it when she thought that someone was giving you the evil eye and you had a headache, and she used to do...
I had no idea about any of this.
Oh, okay. So there's a thing in Italian folklore called the Molucchias, and what she would do is she would crack an egg and put olive oil in a bowl, because that's the most Italian thing you could do, to determine who is giving you the curse. And that's the Molucchias, or the evil eye. And the symbol you would do over... the egg with the oil in it to determine who was the one cursing you was the metal horns, but forward into the
hole. Wow.
You can only learn how to do the Molucchias if you're a female in the direct bloodline of your grandmother on New Year's Eve. So only my cousin knows how to do it, and she is now in Florida. My sister never learned, so
now
it's
you're screwed now if anyone's...
I'm screwed. If someone's giving me the evil eye right now, there's no possible way I could fight my way out of it, because I don't know how to do the Molucchias. I'm not a lady, and I can't do it. But anyway, Dio, Rainbow in the Dark. This is October 20th, 83. This is an amazing song. I mean, this is up there. I mean, I think I like Mystery in terms of my Dio a little bit more, but undoubtedly a great song.
So he passed away in 2010.
Yep. Nice. Stinks. Like, not that old.
Nope.
That's terrible. That's Dio. And
that's this week in metal history.
In metal history.
Metal history.
And I think we're going to play something for...
contemporary week in review.
Yeah.
From, we need to somehow get like a sponsorship out of this. We're just going to play it out of the goodness of our hearts because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And we love Whitney Moore.
Yes.
Good last name. And so take it away. This is the Metal Sucks week in review of metal. And it's awesome.
Korn's new album is out on October 21st, and naturally the band has been making the press runs to promote the album. And during that time, the King Cobb, Jonathan Davis, has said some... interesting things. First off, in an interview with Metal Hammer, Jonathan called out the ripoff of the band's sound on Sepultura's 1996 album Roots. John says he simultaneously thought it was a big compliment, but also it was f***ed up. Now, Jonathan doesn't blame the band because they were one of Korn's biggest influences as much as he does the producer, Ross Robinson, who produced Roots as well as many of Korn's albums. But all that was 20 years ago, boys, just like their genre of nu metal. Oh, but lucky for all of us, nu metal is back! And when asked why by TeamRock.com, Davis claims that the genre's resurgence is because, quote, "I think people miss musicianship. Good songs, melodies, all of the stuff we do."
If you see on the video, our head's exploding.
Last week, we reported on the mysterious Avenged Sevenfold death bats projected on buildings across the globe, and this week, them boys have gone and released a new song and music video. The track is called The Stage, and it features fun riffs like the early Avenged Sevenfold, minus the frantic backbone of the band that's been missing since the Rev passed away in 2009. The video does not feature any footage of the band, but it does have a lot of puppets. In a circus tent, an audience of maniacs watch as puppets from all different kinds of time periods torture and beat the shit out of each other. Oh, but what's that? Is it heavy-handed political commentary? Yes, it is. We've got Kim Jong-un, Angela Merkel, Hillary Clinton, who we assume is included over Trump because Avenged Sevenfold has some insider information as to who's going to win the election. We got Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. Do you get the visual metaphor here? Is it explained clearly enough for you? Got it? Okay, good. Oh, but wait, who are the evil overlords being controlled by? It's a skeleton. A skeleton? Oh, because really, death controls us all. I get it. Thank you, Avenged Sevenfold. We really all have learned so much here. God damn it. Normally, when hip-hop and metal mix, bad things happen. But this is actually pretty rad. A big cartel shop by G-Rot is now selling patches with hip-hop artists' names in the style of metal band logos. Now, normally, this would come across as gimmicky and tacky. We've all seen that stuff before, but this artist must be a true fan because they're pulling references from less mainstream bands like Behemoth, Gamma Ray, Creator, and Sun. Finally, a little something for everyone. You can check them out in the link below in the description. And finally, some sad news from the community this week. Bill Bumgardner, drummer for Black and Sludge bands Lord Mantis and Indian, passed away on October 10th of apparent suicide. His death was reported by Abigail Williams guitarist Jeff Wilson on a private Facebook post and was later confirmed by Brooklyn Vegan and Bill's former bandmate Ken Sorceron. Bill was the only remaining original band member in Lord Mantis after a shakeup with Lord Mantis and Indian last year. He was a super talented dude who died too young, and we wish his family and friends peace in this trying time. And let's let this serve as a reminder to all of us to do our best to be there for our fellow metalheads in need and support them in getting the help they deserve. If you know anyone or if you yourself are going through some dark times, we popped a helpful phone number for you down below. That's all I have for you this week. Make sure to follow Metal Sucks and me, tweet me more on Twitter to find out when we'll be streaming the most metal games on Twitch. And we'll see you next week.
So yes, that was the Metal Sucks Week in Review. By the way, the number that they include is for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. So that is, we've done
new
our
metal is fantastic.
Week in, we have our week in metal. No, actually, I did, whatever, I like
your
metal.
You're a new metal fan.
It's right in our description. We are cult enough to play black metal. We are not too cool for new metal. So,
yes.
Played new metal on the show many times. Some of the national bands, though, are a little questionable. But, so we've done our week in metal history. We've done our week in, this week in metal. And now we're going to do this week in shows, you can see.
Yeah.
Some metal and punk shows going on in Massachusetts. Starting tonight, Sunday, October 23rd, at Sammy's Patio, you can see Legion's Ascend, Ash and Wings, Desolate, and Thy Antichrist. O'Brien's Pub has The Decline, Make War, Tied to a Bear, and Hospital Beds. Tomorrow, Monday, the 24th, Midway Cafe has Middle Barge, Seventh House, Fable Grazer, Bird Organ, and Lou Bunk. Tuesday at Bright Music Hall is Failure Anthem, Through Fire, Letters from the Fire, and Cover Your Tracks. Wednesday at O'Brien's, it is Alston Halloween, not to be confused with Alston Christmas. Mm-hmm. Alston Halloween with Actor Observer, Energy doing Misfits covers, Wonder City playing Weezer's Blue album in its entirety, and Joe Touchette of Zero Holds covering brand new Save the Day, Menzinger's Neutral Milk Hotel, and more. Thursday, October 27th, at O'Brien's, you can see Church Burn, Panzer Bastard, Long Lust, Ritual Blade, and Upheaval. Middle East has The Dickies, Mocking the Myers, and Silver Screams. Friday the 28th at Once Ballroom, you can see Scissor Fight, Roadsaw, Worshipper, Jesus, and Gaskill. PA's Lounge has The Good News, Girl on Top, Triax, Coalition, City of Dis, and Scardello. 13th Floor Music Lounge, it is the Promoterhead annual Halloween party with Grave Knight, Goblet, Inverter, and Graviton.
Nice.
And at Drafter Sports Cafe in Dudley, it's Drafter's Heavy Halloween with Swanky Frank and the Great Pretenders, Cyperna, and Rose from Deception. And next Saturday, October 29th, you got two shows going on at the Midway Cafe. First, it's the Prozacs, Barroom Heroes, Injury, The Pink Parts, and Whoopee Sticks. Then later, it's the Cheech 20th Anniversary Show with Cheech, obviously, Taxi Driver, Reason to Fight, Words of Truth, and Bar Fight Champs. So that the shows that you can see in the state this upcoming week. I mentioned that Worshipper is playing this Friday, the 28th, at Once Ballroom. Which has, I'm going to segue real quick into the Boston Music Awards. So Worshipper, they've been nominated for several categories, including album/EP of the year, live artist of the year, metal artist of the year, and definitely vote for them for album/EP of the year and live artist of the year. So the rest of the metal artists, in addition to Worshipper, include Gozu, I Am Become Death, Protean Collective, which very cool for them, especially to get recognized for what they've been doing, Revocation, which is one of our big international powerhouses from Boston, and then Converge. Why is Converge nominated? I don't understand this. They've been nominated for like the past 15 years, probably before they even formed. They haven't put an album since 2012, I think, but they're nominated every year.
Well, how does it work?
And then
like,
they win.
Who's
everyone? Well, I've actually dropped
the
ball
behind
on this.
The throne. Is it a skeleton?
They've changed it the past, manipulating us all. But they've actually changed it to be a more open process. I've dropped the ball on the application process because I got lost in grad school and all that.
Oh my god!
So I could have been nominating,
bands,
but I dropped the ball on that. So anyway, I think people are like, oh, Boston metal.
And they don't care. You think the people who are voting actually don't?
Killswitch came out with an album this year.
Yeah, they're from, I mean,
Unearth came out with one last year.
If you want to call the western part of Massachusetts Boston.
I can't remember who was nominated last year, but I know that included Converge, and I was fired up about that too.
Well, do you think, let me ask you this, hypothetical.
Not that Converge is a bad band.
I think Converge is fine.
I just don't understand why they're nominated.
But do you think it's because they're the most recognizable band for people who don't, and the people who are voting are not like involved in this scene?
Maybe, but then it's just setting it up for as like a popularity contest in terms of, I don't know.
But it's not even a popularity contest. It's like if you said like who's the biggest like current pop artist, I'd be like Justin Bieber, which might not be correct. Like I have no idea. It's probably like some other teen that I don't know. He's not even a teen anymore. There's gonna be another newer, younger teen who's the biggest star, but I wouldn't know. So if I was voting on like the Kids' Choice Awards on Nickelodeon, I would be a terrible judge.
I mean, maybe. But again, I guess it depends on how Boston you want to be. I just don't... Well, Killswitch has won these awards in the past, I believe.
Yeah.
So no, I'm just saying they put an album, so replace them because they have just as much name recognition and they actually came out with an album this year.
Boston,
I don't know.
Boston is small.
Whatever. That's my little rant. By the way, Punk Hardcore Artist of the Year, we mentioned that you can see Actor Observer this year. They've been nominated for that category along with Ascend, who's playing one of the shows with the Street Dogs this year at their annual Christmas show. Choke Up, Rebuilder, Somos, and The Hotelier. And this is also cool. They have a Best Promoter category. Aaron Gray of Grayskull Booking does a ton of awesome metal shows in the area, has been nominated, as has Ryan Agat from RTT Presents, which does a bunch of punk shows in the state. So, yeah. Log on to Boston Music Awards, their website, and vote. All right. Enough of me being annoying. Gonna
enough
go back
this
to the music.
Palaver.
So this is actually, back when I did the show by myself, Matt, you like this. This is the band that does that Dollhouse song, the video.
Yeah, I do like this song.
This is Eyes on Satellites, their latest, called Icarus 2. And you're hearing it on Brutal Brunch on WMFO 91.5 FM in Medford, streaming live on WMFO.org.
It's not POD's satellite. It's not satellite.
That is true. That's a very important distinguish.
Yeah, not that song.
Thing to distinguish. So if you want to call in here, numbers are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. Again, this is Eyes on Satellites with Icarus 2. They also have a music video out for this. And we will come back and yell about sports.
Hell yeah.
star that feeds. I use them to count the days.
And there was some punk from Los Bungalitos in Spanish. Esta no es una canción de los crudos. I never took Spanish. I don't know what any of that means.
I took Latin.
I don't know how to say it either. That's off their Quick and Dirty EP. And before that, you heard The Fateful Hour. That was Into the Arms of the Heavens, which is not necessarily a new song, but they have taken it, re-recorded it, redid it all to celebrate their 4-year anniversary and also a new beginning for that band as well. For that was We Finally Got Divided Life on the Air. That was their song Cope, From Where We Are. From Where We Are. And now we kicked off that block with Eyes on Satellites with Icarus 2. All right, so we're going to spend some time real quick for some hot sports takes. I know that's why people tuned in to a metal show.
Oh, can we play the NBA on NBC theme song while we do that?
If only we had thought of that.
Dang it.
But yeah, we'll at least do like a metal or a punk sport. We'll kick things off with hockey. And then we'll get to a quick wrestling segment.
Totally.
But so your Boston Bruins lost last night to the Montreal Canadiens in Boston, as usual, which has been going on for the past 3 seasons now. Which, if you remember from the Winter Classic last year, the Winter Classic hosted in Foxborough, Montreal comes to town and kicks their ass. The terrible Montreal. That was like one of 3 wins that Montreal had during the like second half or second 2/3 of the season after Carey Price went down. But anyway, even going to last night, the Bruins, I understand, people were excited. It was a new season.
You feel like they couldn't be as bad as
that.
Well,
they won the crapper the last 2 May or Marches and Aprils to miss the playoffs when they should have made the playoffs. So they start off 3-1. Everyone is, all fired up. I don't know what you're doing.
Got the NBA on.
Oh, you got it. We got a bed. Let's get this on. Yeah, the 3-1, especially after last year when they started off, they gave it like 16 goals in the first 3 games. And where'd it go?
It's back. It's coming.
All right. So anyway, understandably, people would be excited for them to start off 3-1. But the 4 teams they played were all terrible.
Yeah.
So you can learn from so they open the season. They have to come back against Columbus. A team that blows number 1 and also has the worst coach in the NHL. Shouldn't have a job.
Should not have a job. Although he loves America. Kind of.
Yeah, good choice that the World Cup people made to make him coach.
He won 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, actually, one quick story in Ohio.
That's what you were all
talking about. I went to a sports bar to watch the Cubs game against it was game 1, I think, against the Dodgers, whatever it was, game 2. So I went with my cousins, and they left to go somewhere else. I was next to this couple. The woman had a Blue Jackets jersey on, so like, oh, you go to the game? They're like, yeah. So I'm like, let me ask you this. What do you think about John Tortorella? And the guy is like just the classic middle America response. It was like, oh, you know, he's a winner, so we like him. Yeah, he won in 2003. What
he's
was
not
it, 2004?
A winner. Yeah, he's not. He's the opposite of
thanks
winner.
To Dave Andrechuk. He owes that for that. Victory, that's Stanley Cup. But anyway, and he's like, and you know, like he'll kick your ass, and we like that. It's like, have you watched an NHL game recently?
I could probably take John Tortorella in a fist fight.
This point, like he was literally unemployed. Yeah, nobody wanted. That's how he got the World Cup job, was because he didn't have a job in the NHL.
Oh, he's tough.
So he's awful. But anyway, so
he's gritty.
They come back to beat Columbus in Columbus, then they get smoked by Toronto. And the Austin Matthews show up there.
The defense is horrific.
And it is like, horrific.
It's aging, and no one has been replaced, and like no one has really stepped up.
Oh, it's brutal.
Krug is like not.
Not in a good way.
I like him, but he's not really.
Did
like
you see
good.
The play last night where they're on the power?
So, I know he gives the puck up a lot.
Well, so real quick. So then they beat New Jersey, and they beat Winnipeg. So New Jersey, if you take New Jersey, Toronto, and Columbus, they were all like 3. The worst 3 teams are 3 of the worst 4 teams from last season. Awful teams that the Bruins should just be beating up on.
Yes.
So obviously they should have gone 4-0, but 3-1 is fine. But like, settle down. Everybody's all geeked up in these 4 games or whatever. The other thing about those 4 games is all the scoring was done by the top line, which is not sustainable. If you saw the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals this year, they had 3 lines that could score at will, basically.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So it was all Marchand, Pastrnak, and Backes.
Yep.
And then Bergeron comes back, replaces Backes. Backes goes to the second line, and Bergeron scores. So it's like all the scoring, all the points have been coming from the first line, which is not sustainable. So it was no surprise they come back to Boston, they have their big opening night win, and then they just get annihilated by the Canadiens. I mean, They're down 2-0. They score a goal. Then they go on a power play, and your boy Crew goes to keep the puck in the zone, whiffs on it, and Montreal just pots a nice shorthanded, unassisted goal there. And then we got Rask, my boy Rask from Finland, my other hometown.
Very soft. I don't know.
First, we had the Olympics. He bails on the game against Sweden to go to the gold medal game. They I believe Lettinen filled in for him. They lose 1-0, 2-1, whatever it was. Then the last game of the season last year, to make the playoffs, he comes in against Ottawa, and then it's like, you know what? Nope. I got some stomach problems. Why don't you take this? What was the backup goalie last year? Whatever.
Oh, last year?
Totally blank on his name. But anyway, they get smoked at home to go to the playoffs against an Ottawa team that had nothing to play for.
No, he's
and now you have Montreal coming to town, who Rask is awful against.
Yep.
And now he's got some soreness.
What? Like...
So Hudobin just got hung out to dry.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. I know it's like a popular like thing to say, like, oh, Rask is soft and you gotta blah, blah, and but then like people will be like, his goals against average is better than.
Well, last year it wasn't. He was like 26th or 27th out of the Alain Gill.
I don't know.
He's a former Vezina winner.
I'm always getting shut down by the hockey Illuminati when I get mad about Rask.
Then you have Boston, because like again, those first four games, everyone's like, we got Backus, blue collar worker, lunch pail guy.
He's gonna
bring us to the cup. Get Louis Erickson out of here. Louis Erickson, who his first goal of the season was against his own team, by the way, for Vancouver. So everyone's like, see, and then yeah, but Backus gets knocked down to the second line, does nothing, and then anyway, loses to Montreal. Terrible. And Andrew Shaw over there, out punking him.
They built a team to like fight and like. There's like no more fighting.
They have no idea. That's the thing. They're like, well, yeah, this like some of the team can fight, some of the team can score goals, but then they have a coach who doesn't want to score goals.
No.
He wants to play defensively, but then they don't have a defense.
Their number one
defenseman would be a number 4 or 5 on a good team.
They should just play
number 3.
Fancy style. Like just like no defense. Just try to score like 10 goals.
It's awful. Anyway, that's my Bruins rant. And then keeping in the spirit of Chikara and their equal fights, equal rights, I'm going to mention, going to balance out a Bruins take with a 4-0 team locally here that you should check out, the Boston Pride, which is the women's team, which gained notoriety in a very unfortunate manner at the Winter Classic last year when one of their players was tripped up, slid into the boards, and became paralyzed. Denna Lang, you can check out the Denna Lang Foundation. But anyway, Boston Pride is part of the paid women's team here in the United States. Only 4 teams, but right now Boston Pride are 4-0, first place, and just annihilating the competition.
Not bad.
Get to those games. Good experience. You can actually watch their games.
BU?
I blanked on the name of the arena. I will look it up and get that to you. But you can also see some of their home games on NESN, which is kind of cool. They're entertaining games to watch. They have legit commentary. It's not like a CSN Revolution deal where you have like TV people doing radio and vice versa, whatever.
I like a college women's hockey that there was no checking. Is there checking allowed in professional women's hockey?
I think there is. I don't know what the actual rules are though.
Because I know there's like no open ice checks, no nothing, like no contact almost in college women's hockey, which is extremely frustrating because I wanted to see these ladies like smash each other against the glass, but it wasn't happening.
I'm sure they have all sorts of political problems like with USA Hockey and all this stuff. So I'm sure USA Hockey does not want them hurting each other.
That makes sense.
Because basically all their players play in this league.
Like every single player who's on the Olympic team is in the league.
Pretty much.
Sure.
All right. So do you want to do your...
Could I be a grinder? Could I do a ladybug scenario and dress up like a lady and become a goon in the Women's Hockey League?
I can't really skate
anymore.
I don't think so.
Okay. What if it's Ladybug scenario starring Rodney Dangerfield?
All right, why don't you do your wrestling moment?
Sequest. All right, so I was at Ring of Honor Lowell. That's All-Star Extravaganza 8.
They play at Warrior Ice Arena, by the way.
Oh, I know where that is. Unbelievable card. I'm not a huge like Ring of Honor. I don't follow a lot of the Ring of Honor storylines, I'll tell you, but I kind of knew the basics. The main event was basically like their TLC event. They call it like... Ladder War. It's the fifth Ladder War or the fourth Ladder War. It's basically just a giant mess of a match. It was 3 tag teams. We had the Motor City Machine Guns, the Young Bucks, and Daniels and Kazarian, who were the champions.
By the way, just want to point out real quick, all 3 of those tag teams at one point were in TNA,
yep.
Which is now going down in flames. It's a ridiculous storyline. Basically, Dixie Carter, horrible human being,
this is almost like a, sorry to derail you again, but no. This is like a WCW situation where like Bischoff was like all set to buy it, and then Time Warner was like, nope, go away, we don't want you. It's like Billy Corgan was all set to buy it and rejuvenate it, and Dixie is like, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. And she's like, just ruined everything once again. But anyway, back to Ring of Honor and their sweet tag teams.
Unbelievable tag teams. Obviously, Christopher Daniels cut an unbelievable promo that I was telling Matt about in the break. It was on YouTube, and he basically said, he's not a good father, he's not a good husband, but there's one thing he's good at, and that's being the tag team champion. And that the belt meant more to him than anything in the world. The match was like unbelievably bloody. Christopher Daniels like went through the barriers, you know, like the metal barriers around the ring, got set up like a table, and they just powerbombed it through. It was horrific looking. It's a Lowell Memorial Auditorium, which is a really great venue. Looked really good. Match of the night, though, unfortunately, was was one that I had no idea that was even happening, which is Kamitachi versus Dragon Lee, who are both from AAA. They're both luchadors from AAA. And I had actually gone out to buy a War Machine shirt because I love those guys because they're big, fat guys. They like throw each other through
Hosses.
Things. And I came back and there was just two guys just doing exceedingly more ridiculous moves to the outside of the ring. And I had no idea who they were. And by the end of it, they were both essentially poison hurricane running each other off the top rope to the ground. And that was essentially the finish. It was an unbelievable match. And I think it's a continuation of their matches in AAA, which you can watch basically all on YouTube, which I recommend because those guys are maniacs and I don't know how long they could possibly do what they do. And then local boy Donovan Dijak from Tewksbury lost the TV, or he lost his bid to become the TV champion against Bobby Fish. But the crowd was absolutely out of their minds for Dijak, obviously being in Lowell. It looked fantastic. Came up with like a nice Ivan Drago entrance. Nice. Everybody loved it. And then he lost in kind of a weird schmoz, and we were all furious. great event. I will definitely go there again. I think NXT is going to be up there in December. Boo. Oh, no, that's not true. They're going to be at
NXT. Out of here.
Yeah, NXT.
I'm an NXT hipster.
You are an NXT hipster. There was a good NXT sucks chant that happened, which is absurd. That's the sports that I've been watching.
Excellent. Sweet. And then I got my Veda Scott t-shirt that I'm rocking there. So yep. There's your women's wrestling representation.
There you go, women's wrestling.
Who won last night for Smash Wrestling, the crazy Canadian league.
Who won?
No, Veda Scott won her match.
Oh, she won.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So anyway, now let's do... So this is our first show back. We got some, like our segments and our bits they're trying out. So we're like,
you might notice,
experimenting with the time.
Replaying the NBA and NBC.
So I'm gonna fade out your bet here.
Dang.
Thank you though. This was clutch for sports. We're gonna transition to a little bit we're going to call Brutal or Not Brutal, as is the name of the show, Brutal Brunch. If you're unaware, it's a very common metal term that you can look up. It basically means awesome or like a heavy song.
Brutal.
Which is like true brutal, you know.
Yep.
If you listen to like black metal and stuff like that, that means you're a real metal fan.
Yes.
So basically I got like four topics or whatever for Master Mauer here, and I'm gonna ask him whether he thinks they are brutal or not brutal. So the first thing I'm gonna do for you is get a song going here in the background. So you're a video game fan, Gears of War fan.
I am.
And trailer drop for, yes, Gears of War Fair. So you can hear. So this is Lissy, I don't know how to pronounce her name. She's a kind of rock country artist. And as you can hear, doing a cover of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters for the Gears of War 4 trailer. You may have seen this trailer on TV.
I have not
so,
seen it.
So, this cover of Metallica, brutal or not brutal, would you say?
I want to say I like it, because I like Nothing Else Matters. Not brutal. I'm just going to say not brutal off the top of my head.
Say, let's see. Oh, that's not... All right, see, the CDs here are getting all crazy on me.
Not
so
brutal.
So you would say this.
Not brutal, you know.
Yes, that's what
there
I'm saying.
There you go. That is our verdict on this.
I'm probably going to get Gears of War 4, I guess. Although I have no time to play video games anymore. It's extremely sad.
It is sad.
It's extremely sad being an adult with responsibilities.
All right, so that's... Well, let's just keep going in the background, I guess.
It's fine, though. I mean, I like the song. Not brutal, though.
So staying on the topic of video games, the Nintendo Switch was unveiled.
Oh,
what
yeah.
was it? It was some other code name, as they usually do.
It was called
the NX, right. And boom, Nintendo Switch. Nobody knows what games are going to be on it,
nope,
or what the developers are going to be. But
nope.
What are your thoughts on the Nintendo Switch? And give us, like, a 30-second description.
The Nintendo Switch is essentially, like, a It's your mobile, non-mobile solution. Basically, it's a little tablet that has controllers on the side of it. So you can play it in your lap like a Game Boy or a DS. And then when you're in your home, you can like put it into a dock. You take the controllers off the sides of it, and then you're playing directly on your TV. So it's actually like a real, I think it, to me, having seen basically a commercial for it, it looks like a convenient solution for the amount of time that I have to play video games now as an adult. They showed like a 3D Mario, looks pretty good. Seems like there's a million different ways you can play. You can use little controllers and play on the screen itself, multiplayer, which seems neat for like, you know, like your casual gaming, which is I think what the Nintendo is really trying to market itself as, is casual games for people who don't have time to play games anymore and still have your Zeldas and Marios. Is it brutal? Yeah, it's brutal.
So, all right, so the Nintendo Switch, it's got me interested, kind of hyped up for Nintendo again. So we are going to say...
Real brutal. It was brutal.
Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, brutal. Especially at the end when they set it on fire. Miyamoto came out and just stomped on it, set it on fire.
All right, and now, so switching gear, well, we'll still stay in geekdom here, but Star Wars, I'm amped up for Rogue One coming out. I think it's going to be the best Star Wars movie after Empire Strikes Back when all is said and done. But then we have another spinoff coming out in 2018 about Han Solo, and they made a casting announcement, which is that Donald Glover, who is currently doing Atlanta, the TV show, has been cast as Lando Calrissian. Do you have an opinion on this, on whether that is brutal or not brutal?
It's tough. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but I'll tell you what I am a big fan of, and that's Billy Dee Williams. I think that it's a good call because that guy seems funny. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. I saw a couple episodes of Community. Like, he's a funny guy. He's not as cool as Billy Dee Williams. Right. I guess he'd be a younger Lando, so maybe he was like an unlikable nerd before he became like a sweet, cool guy with a cape. I want to say not brutal because
I'm going to agree with you because I just hate the idea of the spinoff in general. It's completely unnecessary and stupid.
Yeah.
Han Solo is the most overrated character in that entire series.
Wow, wow. Flames, I know it's going to get fuego takes.
So
I would prefer to see what Lando did after Empire. Like, I don't care about young Lando. Like, I don't care about prequel.
This is going to be made up anyway. I
don't care about prequel anything. I don't want to know how he got his blue cape. I just want to know that he has it.
Right. So we're going to say this.
Danbury, Connecticut is more brutal.
Yeah. There you go.
Danbury, Connecticut is brutal.
All right. So our final thing, Lamb of God released a new track, which was initially going to be off their album that came out last year, but they decided to release it separately. It is called The Duke, and it is in honor of in memory of a fan who passed away due to leukemia. So we're going to say brutal or not brutal for Lamb of God's track.
I would say brutal off the top of the head.
It's the most brutal thing ever.
Unbelievable move by those guys. Like, really nice of them. And really good track, too, on top of everything else. But, like, yeah, like, an unbelievable cause. Like, just sucks. Childhood cancer is a nightmare.
Yep. So, yeah, they did that. You can check out that track. It's out on YouTube and everywhere else, basically. It's all over the internet. And just another good thing, because that band's awesome. And Randy, he's kind of a maniac, but he's also awesome. He's, like, articulate. He's written a book about his time in a Czech prison, which we've rehashed that story enough. So he has a whole autobiography about that. They have a documentary, which was supposed to be like about their tour, and it turned into this is what happened to us and our experience in the little trial that they went through. All right, so that wraps up Brutal or Not Brutal.
I like it.
Do you have your black metal song of the week queued up?
I do.
Before we get to that, I just want to ask you a quick question. So we got about 10 minutes left of the show. Do you want to do Pig Squeal of the Week this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, before we get to... This is my intro for this.
So on that fence there, all right? And just squeal like a pig. It's
Ben Affleck there from Dazed and Confused. So I got inspired by this, by the band we're going to feature this week. We have no real like result of the segment, but we love pig squeals because they're hilarious and awesome.
It's a go-to thing to do when you don't know what to do and it sounds horrific.
And it's like, it's one of those things, it's like sounds easy. Like you look up on WikiHow, how did pig squeal? Like, I can do that. And then you hear it for real and you're like, I can't do that. But these guys, Despised Icon, we're going to go outside of the state of Massachusetts for this one.
Great song.
From Quebec. And they have two vocalists. Neither of them, they do some clean vocals, maybe, I don't know, but not really. It's not like they switch between clean and harsh vocals.
No.
But one of the dudes does pig squeals, so we're going to feature them. There's going to be 90 seconds of three different songs from the most recent album called Beast. First, you're going to hear Bad Vibes, then the title track, and then Time Bomb. So here it is, your pig squeal of the week here on Brutal Brunch. Strap yourselves in.
So chunky at the beginning. Here we go. This is so good. I mean, I'm good. Ready? It's not over yet.
Love it. So that was Bad Vibes. Here comes Beast. Now you can sing along if you want.
I can't do it.
You gotta inhale. Alright, got one more for you.
Oh, I'm gonna throw up trying to do it.
Gotta practice.
Oh, I do.
Here we go. No way! Time bomb. So there you go. Despise the Icon.
Unbelievable.
Bringing us our pig squeals of the week.
It is
this
extremely
week.
Hard to do that.
It's not easy to do. We got to get somebody in here who can do it and like give us a live demonstration. Or if people want to submit a pig squeal of the week, whether it be a YouTube video of yourself or of like just a sweet song that you want to play.
Boxman37 yes. Pig squeals.
And so that's our segment. Again, that's it. You just like to play pig squeals for you.
Yeah.
All right. So you got time for Master Morrow's metal, black metal song of the week.
All right, for the true metal cult, I'm obviously a fan of black metal, but I'm not wearing corpse paint right now. But I do like basically the genre generally. Here's a great one, obviously from 2012, In the House of the Nemesis off Lo, Curse of the World Cometh by Massachusetts' own Gru. This is a good one, and not 11 minutes.
And that was Gru.
So good.
With your black metal song of the week.
So good.
And the House of Nemesis from Lou, The Curse of the World Cometh. That wraps things up for us. The first week here on our new time slot, new show name, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Of course, streaming live on WMFO.org. And that's it. So we will be back. Same time, same place next week, 8 a.m. right on Sunday for some more metal and some more punk and some more brutal or not brutal.
Who's up next?
We got the Melisma Radio Hour maybe coming in.
Okay.
Until that, we are going to play you out with this is Matt's choice for
Escape
for an outro. And yeah, again, check us out Twitter, Boxman37, SnoodDude7, also on Facebook, Brutal Brunch Radio. Not to be confused with Barnett's Brutal Brunch over in England. That's
like a
rival show with the same name, although she's been around for a lot longer than we have.
Yeah. We'll have her on.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to do an international call.
Yeah.
That'd be sick. All right. Until next time, enjoy your week. Go see some metal shows.
Yeah, do that.
Stay brutal.
Brutal.